This morning, my little burden is judging ourselves. Judging ourselves. I'd like to go to the book of Ezekiel and read a couple of verses here in chapter 11. And I always desire your prayers, and the Lord will bless these efforts this morning. Ezekiel chapter 11. Verses 19 and 20. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. That is an operation the Lord desires for every one of His children. To take out that stony heart and put in a soft heart. Put in a heart that He can begin to imprint His desires, His will, His mind, His way, His principles, His statutes. That's what He desires to do with every one of us, to be able to imprint Himself upon our lives. To take that stony heart out and put a heart of flesh in its place. When the Lord is able to do that, when we allow Him that freedom, that reign, then we are beneficiaries of the manifold blessings of God. Now I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians. Pick up some verses here, chapter 11. I'd like to set the stage here in this chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Toward the end of this chapter, the Apostle Paul is speaking to them concerning their abuse of the Lord's Supper. And they had some very strong abuses of it. Things that they had completely changed the meaning of it from a solemn and sacred service into a feast. And it was a feast that was from all appearances of reading the scripture, it was a very much a party-like atmosphere. And they had changed it from just being that sacred, solemn request that the Lord had, as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. That they had done it in such a way that they would probably, I'm just going to add it lib here, knowing humanity as I do, it's easy for one to try to outdo the other. And I'm going to bring this, and I'm going to have this, and my family's going to have this. And the next one over here says, well, I'm going to upstage that just a little bit. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to bring this, and I'm going to add this. And the next thing you know, it's gotten totally out of hand. And rather than sitting down to enjoy the solemnity and what it's really supposed to mean, it turns into just an absolute smorgasbord of food. And not only food, but food and drink. And with that comes all of the visiting, the talking, exchanging back and forth. And the Apostle Paul got report of what was going on, and he sends them a letter. Says, this is not acceptable. What you're doing is not acceptable. So that's the backdrop. And we'll pick up beginning to read in verse 21. Chapter 12. These two verses. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. In other words, he's saying, look what you're doing. Look what you have done. You've taken this solemn service that's supposed to be remembering what the Lord said the night that He was arrested and taken away. And look what you've done with this. You've made a feast out of it. You've forgotten the real essence and meaning of it. And you've taken this thing and you've profaned it. I can't praise you in this. And I want to tell you what you need to do. So He begins to give them the upbraiding and the instruction. Now verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now let's look at what has happened here. Before they took of the, if you will, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, they had feasted and partied. One is drunken. They've gotten together and they've had this big, whatever you want to call it, celebration, big occasion, grand occasion. And now we're all going to sit down and we're going to take the Lord's Supper. He says to them in verse 27, "Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Serious words here. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now, whether or not it was because of a penalty that the Lord had exacted upon them for their... let's remember this. This solemn service that was instituted by our Lord was instituted in a way, and He says to them, "As oft as you do it in remembrance of Me. If I mean anything to you, if anything that I have said, if what I am about to do, if it means anything to you, then I ask that after this is all complete, that when you come together, and as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of Me." I don't think it was too much of the Lord to ask of His disciples and those who would follow after them to have this solemn request of them, "If this means anything to you, then as oft as you do it in remembrance of Me." God had sent His Son to open the door of the plan of salvation to humanity, and it was God within God's right to look down upon this setting and say, "This is wrong. I'm not going to accept this." They've taken that most beautiful thing that I had to give to them, and I said to them, gave to My Son, said, "As oft as you do this," I gave Him the pattern, the understanding to share this last little occasion with them, and said, "Do it in remembrance of Me." It wasn't just in remembrance of Christ, folks. It was in remembrance of all that God had ordained Christ to be. "As oft as you do it in remembrance of Me." So, they had profaned it. Now, whether or not they had become gluttonous and overboard in their appetites and what they allowed into their bodies, eating and drinking, and that caused them to be sick, or whether or not God had Himself exacted a penalty upon them for their lack of respect, disrespect for this service, I can't say. Commentators have varied on it. Some seem to think that God Himself may have actually allowed them to have disease and sickness because they had profaned and disrespected this solemn, sacred service. I can't say one way or the other, but I'll tell you where my mind would lean. My mind would lean toward a God in heaven looking down upon humanity and seeing what they had done and the way that they had turned this thing around and saying, "I'm not going to take for that. I'm not going to stand for that. There's a penalty to be paid for disrespecting and disregarding the most sacred thing that could ever be done for humanity. And I am going to see to it that they understand. That's my leaning. I can't prove it, but that's my leaning. All right? For this cause, verse 30, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And then he says this, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Drawing a stark contrast here, allowing them to see that what you are doing in your assembly is very much akin to what the world does. They come together with their feasts and their celebrations at their special times. This is not like that. But if you would judge in yourselves, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Can I say to us this morning, folks, if we take anything away from this little burden this morning, we walk out these doors and go back to our homes, if we would judge ourselves, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If I will take the Word of God, if I will take the teachings, the precepts, the statutes, the commands, those things that I have been instructed in over the years that have been done in a way to give help to my needy soul, to help to my understanding, help to my sin-sick soul and heart, if I would take those things over the years and apply them to my own life and apply them to my needs, if I would judge myself, then I would have no need for God to have to judge me. If I would take those things that I have listened to, that I have heard, that have been presented to me, if I will take the things when I sit down and I read the Word of God, and I have it in my heart, remember what we said there in Ezekiel, I'm going to take out the stony heart. I'm going to put a heart of flesh. I'm going to put my statutes there. That's what the Lord desires to do with every one of us. But that boils down to whether or not there is a willing heart, a willing mind, a willing spirit to accept the things of God. And when I am willing, open to receive the things of God, if I would judge myself, I have no need for God to step in and judge. Now in Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing. If a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Let every man prove his own work. Judge myself. Now this doesn't mean, folks, that I have all kinds of what I have heard over the years termed as Christian liberty. Christian liberty. Yes, there is liberty in Christ. Yes, there is liberty in the Lord. But Christian liberty is generally speaking of those who want to take their own way and maintain the name of being a Christian. That I have liberties. If my conscience doesn't condemn me, then I'm okay to do it. If my conscience doesn't prick me, then I'm okay to do it. Christian liberty. I say be careful about Christian liberty. We are free in the Lord, yes. And yes, God has a right to deal with every man according to his ability to comprehend and understand. God has the ability to reach down and talk to every soul throughout this entire universe in a way that they can understand. Even those that have never heard of the gospel, if there are still. Those who have never seen, those who have never had a Bible in their hands. God, in heaven, has the full ability to reach down and communicate with every heart, mind, and soul to communicate His needs to them. Their desire of their heart, they can call upon Him and not even know who it is they're calling upon. And God has the ability to answer the need of that soul. I read in a book, F.G. Smith wrote about a man who sat down. He was studying, he was pondering, he was thinking about things and wondering about how all this comes to pass. And really in his soul, he was crying and yearning for something. And he didn't even know how to answer or to call or to ask. He just was puzzled about things. He says, made some comments similar to this. He said, yesterday I sat down in my field. I looked across the field and there was no corn. There was nothing there. I come out today and the blades are sprung up all over the field. There's a sun that is shining. There's rain that falls. And I ask myself, how can all this be? What is the reason behind all these things? And he said, and I buried my head in my hands. I'll tell you, folks, there are things in this world, there are things about God and His ability and what He does for us that's too big for us to even begin to comprehend the magnitude and the depth of it. And He has the ability to reach down the side, inside of your heart and your mind and deal with you according to your every need. And when He does that, if we would judge ourselves, the beautiful thing about this is that God knows how to instruct you and me in the ways of righteousness. He knows how to help us read the Scriptures and know how to apply them to our lives, to our unique circumstance, our unique situations. Because I know, I've lived long enough to know that there are things that you go through in life that I will never go through and I'll never be able to understand and comprehend the depth and magnitude of the things that you deal with. There are those in this congregation. There are those in this congregation who have had to lay to rest infant children that only lived a few days, maybe a few hours, right out here in this cemetery. I've never done it. I don't know anything about it. I don't know how it feels. But they do. Those are the things that God has the ability to reach down in the heart of that individual and touch them and help them to know what it is He wants them to do. And it's different with you and it's different with me. But He is able to take those things that you need and touch your heart and your life. And when you are crying and weeping, and when you have that empty spot, and when you say to yourself sometimes whenever it's quiet and still, maybe you're lying on your bed, and you think, my little infant child that is in this cemetery, what would their life be like today if they were 30, 35, 20, or 25? What would their life be like today? And I never think about it. Because I never had to experience it. But you did. There are those today who are dealing with some of the most awful circumstances in life, in this world. Dealing with physical affliction. Dealing with it every day. Dealing with the symptoms of it every day. And there are those who are the picture of perfect health and never have issues in life. They go through life without having affliction. Those who carry it, and those who don't come from two different sections, do they not? But do you know that every one of them has their own unique situations they have to deal with? It's easy. It is so easy to take for granted blessings from the Lord. It's so easy to take for granted. It's so easy to come under affliction and allow it to rule life day in and day out. It's easy for that to happen. It's easy for me to fold my hands. It's easy for me to just want to take my chair and take my bed. It's easy to want to do that if we allow it. It's easy for me to take for granted things. But if we would judge ourselves, if we would allow the Lord to work with us, instruct us through His Word, if we would judge ourselves, I would say, if you give me this liberty here, if we would be able to judge ourselves, what a blessing it would be to not have to be judged by God. Be able to go through life reading the Scriptures, hearing the teachings, hearing the precepts, the statutes, and looking at them, applying them to my own heart, judging myself, humbling myself before my God, when He reaches to me and says, this is something I need you to work on, child. Yes, Father, I'm willing to do that. And if we would judge ourselves, if we would do that, rather than having to take and receive more severe issues along the way because I was not willing to judge myself. The Apostle Paul was speaking to these people in Corinth because they had not judged themselves. Because they had taken for granted those things. And they had allowed themselves Christian liberties, if you will. They had allowed themselves to come to the place where they profane the most precious things of God. And Paul said, if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't have any need to be judged of another. We wouldn't have to be judged if we would do it ourselves. I say to us today, folks, as we read there in Galatians, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, Lord, I thank you that you helped me to be able to see this need and that I was able to get this thing taken care of before somebody else had to bring it to my attention. Now, I know, as well as I'm standing here before you, I know how humanity works. I know myself. Too many times, I don't judge myself. Too many times, I have to have things pointed out to me. Too many times, by God, by others, pointed out to me. How does it feel when somebody else has to point out your fault? Honestly, how does it feel? It doesn't feel real good. It doesn't feel real good. In fact, it doesn't feel good at all for someone else to have to point out your fault. It doesn't even feel good when the Lord has to point it out. But somehow when the Lord points out the fault, He's able to do it in a way many times it's so much better than the way a human being can do it. Because His way is a drawing way. Too many times our ways are just pointing out your fault. I'm just going to show you and tell you what's wrong. But the Lord has a way of doing it in a way that is a drawing. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Examine yourselves. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Self-examination. Introspection. All of these words fall under the same type of category. Now I'd like to, in our final passage, turn to the book of Lamentations. Chapter 3. Verses 39 through 41. Verse 39 is a rather curious verse. There's a lot in it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 39. Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins? What this is really saying is every day that we have is a blessing from God. Wherefore doth a living man complain? I might be on the bed of affliction. I might be in a terrible circumstance. I might be in a situation that is almost unbearable in life, but I'm still alive. I'm still alive. And I'm still alive by the grace of God. So why do I complain when I have another opportunity, another day, for God to reveal Himself to me and show me more about me? Why would I complain whenever I have the opportunity for God to deal with my soul? And if I'm not ready to meet Him, to make amends so I can meet Him in peace. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? If I have discrepancies in my life and that need to be refined, wherefore doth a living man complain? This is another day. This is another opportunity to have God work with me. Just a little piece of advice here. Don't complain about your day. Every day is a blessing from the Lord. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Visualize this, if you will. Just visualize this. Let us lift up our heart. If I could take my heart, that heart of flesh, that heart of stone, whichever it is, if I could take my heart and lift it up unto the God in heavens. Lord, here's my heart. You see my heart. You know my heart. Lord, help me to search myself. Help me to try my own ways. Help me to judge myself. By those things you see in my heart, Lord, help me. Help me to be able to judge myself so that I won't have need to be judged of another. Because if I have to be judged of you, that can be more severe. And I'd rather not have to have the severity. I'd rather be able to judge these things of myself. But the only way that's going to take place is from an honest and sincere heart. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Here I am, Lord. Everything about me. The Scripture tells us all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. There's not one thing about you, me, that's hidden from the Lord. Not one thing. He sees it all. Lord, will you help me to be able to see those things too? Will you help me to be able to understand those things also? Will you help me, Lord, to be able to have the vision to see where I am errant before you and before my fellow man? Help me, Lord, to know how to fix those things. Help me, Lord, to be willing to do what I need to do to fix these things, because I don't want to come under severe judgment. These folks in Corinth, I said to you, my leanings is that they were feeling the severe hand of God because they had profaned one of the most beautiful and sacred and holy ordinances that the Lord had left with them. They weren't willing to accept instruction. They didn't listen to the word of the Lord. They didn't listen to Jesus' word. And He says, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. They had profaned that. And they received more severe, in my opinion, more severe judging than what would have been necessary had they listened. I say, Lord, will you please help me? Lord, will you help us all? I appreciate your time and attention this morning. God bless each one in my prayers, folks. Let's judge ourselves with righteous judgment. Amen.